If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
He writes in verse 14, but the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love one another as you love yourself. And therein, my beloved, is the problem. If one does not love themselves, they cannot love anybody else. Once again, we try to bind the devil. Oh, you got a devil that's keeping you from loving. No, I just did not have an environment of love that I may be taught those principles, that I may share those principles when I get older. And that's why relationships suffer as we become adults, because we weren't shown love as children. He says, verse 15, but if instead of showing love among yourselves, you are always critical and catty, watch out. Beware of ruining each other. What makes a person critical? What makes a person catty? It's not the devil singularly. It is unresolved issues in them. The Bible says God causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. The same rain that you prayed for as a believer is falling on sinners. The same rain that is watering your roses is also watering the poppy that creates the heroin. God doesn't put an umbrella over a heroin field and say, well, I know how to stop you. I'll just cause the rain not to hit your flowers and they won't grow. God doesn't stop the production of the heroin. He just saves drug addicts. I don't think you heard me. It's not the heroin that's the sin. So he can't save the heroin. You can't bind the spirit of pornography. Because pornography is not the problem. It's the people watching it. So don't pray that God kills the pornographers. See, we put judgment on anything. The reason why Larry Flint is in a wheelchair is because he created Hustler magazine and God had to put him in a wheelchair. Well, God didn't stop him from making the darn magazine, so he put him in a gold wheelchair. I saw him in Beverly Hills. I saw him in a gold Rolls Royce getting out. He had two men putting him in a gold wheelchair. And Christian talking about God had him shot so he could stop hustling. But he got a gold Rolls Royce and a gold wheelchair. I think God missed. What is Paul saying? We stress over the external. It is like during the 20s when the government in their wisdom said that drinking alcohol was illegal. And all of the temperance groups said, amen. But all that did, but they couldn't take the drinking attitude from the people. So the mobsters stepped in and said the government is stupid. And they made millions off of liquor, bootleg liquor, beer. And the spread of organized crime that is in our world is directly related to prohibition. The money that they were able to make in prohibition enabled them to spread into unions, the garment industry, because they made so much money. Why? Because people attacked the wrong problem. We do the same thing in church. We preach against sin, which we should, but we never talk about the character that connects with the sin. I can't call you down here and pray a spirit out of you that's in there by your choice. You weren't beat up by the devil and he didn't force himself into you. He had an entrance. There was something that let him in. Maybe he got in through the doorway of sexual abuse that you experienced as a child that you never closed. And maybe he got in there through low self-esteem because you came up in an environment where you were beat down every day and told you would never amount to anything. And maybe you're chasing all these relationships because in reality, you're just trying to find a place to belong. So I keep bringing you down front and praying you out of these bad relationships, these sexual relationships. But the reality is the relationship is not the problem. It's the fact that deep inside you've never felt that you belonged. And these people keep promising you that they're going to make you feel like you belong. And this is how you know, because if that relationship ever ends and you have conniptions about it, then you were in the relationship for the wrong reason. You wanted them to do for you what you should have done for yourself. So when they remove themselves, now your life is devastated. Now you are fractured beyond healing. It's not their fault. You wanted them to be what they were not supposed to be. You wanted them to be what God is not in your life. Watch now. So Jesus teaches us through John 14 up to 17. God knows you have that deficiency. God knows that you have that struggle. So here's what he's going to do. He sat up in heaven throughout all the books of the Old Testament. He sat up in heaven and he ministered to us. And every now and then he visited us, either a Christophany or a theophany. Every now and then he visited us to meet a temporary need, to solve a philosophical problem, to grant clarity when there was despair and hopelessness. He would show up and he said, this ain't going to work. I can't leave my Jasmine throne to come down and mingle with these people because they're too sinful and I'm too holy. And every time I show up, somebody going die because somebody's going to violate my holiness. I keep hinting, take your shoes off, take your shoes off, take your shoes off, bow down, bow down, bow down. But you know what's going to happen because they're human, they're going to start taking me for granted. Because once we become familiar, we lose the connection. So the Bible says Jesus could do all these great works except one place. In his own hometown. Why? Because they looked at him and said, oh, that's just Jesus. Our brothers and sisters grew up with him. He can't do nothing. So the Bible said he did a little bit of stuff. You see? And that's the danger between pastors and parishioners. You start seeing me as, oh, that's just him. Praise God. That's just Pastor Lambert. And so when I give a director from the Lord, like, yeah, right, sure. I ain't got to listen. So if I stand up here by the unction of the Lord and say, everybody come back tonight because the Lord says he's going to speak. I can't make it. But if somebody else comes in, truly led of God, fully spirit-filled, and you see them that way, and they say, look, the Lord said everybody come back tonight, you come. Why? Because you don't see me the same way anymore. It's not your fault. There's nothing you can do about it. You sit there right now and say, Pastor, not all of us. Yes, you do. The only ones who don't are the newer ones. But those of you that have been here for a long, long, long time, while I'm preaching my heart out, you just sitting there reading and writing. You just, But then when someone else comes, you're like, yeah, go ahead, preach it. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul's saying, you've gotten to this point with me that you just take me for granted. What I'm telling you is no longer relevant. So you followed after the teachings of these Judaizers who are leading you back into bondage. He said, but I have to get you to understand what's motivating you. Unresolved issues. Periods of disillusionment. Oh, you weren't what I thought you should be. No. You weren't what I needed you to be. So in order to cover that, we use phrases such as, I don't need nobody but Jesus. I don't care what people say. I walk by myself. I'm happy in myself. You lie like a Persian rug. God made us relational. And if we don't have relationships outside, then he gives us the brother, sister, mother, father concept of the church. It is the devil that seeks to divide us, to split us. There's only one God, one Christ, one Lord, one faith, and there's only one walk with God. And so God said, I can't communicate that from here. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to make Jesus. I'm going to extend myself. And here comes Jesus. Jesus goes from being the Elohim to Emmanuel. He goes from being the God that sits on a jasmine throne to God with us. He says, but I can't stay with you all the time, because if I do, you're going to start taking me for granted and you're going to misuse the gift that I give of myself. So I'm only going to be with you for a little bit of time. I'm going to teach you principles of the kingdom that will enable you to stand when I'm gone. But I also realize that if I leave you, you're going to fall right back into disrepair. So God doesn't make the same mistake twice. He never makes mistakes, but he doesn't make the same one twice. He says, all right, when I pull away from them in a physical body, Jesus says, I'm going to pray the Father that he give you allos parakaleo. And I'm going to pray that he gives you one just like me. That's why he uses the term, you will know him. How will you know him? You've never had him before, because he's just like me. And I'm just like the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has the Holy Ghost has me. What am I trying to do? Connect you with God from an internal perspective. He will not remove all of your idiosyncrasies and your fleshly deficiencies. He will not remove those things, but he brings a modicum of strength so that you can overwhelm them with a newfound confidence, with a newfound ability that says, I don't have to do the things that I used to do. I'm the new creature in Christ. And now, because God said, this is what I am, that this is how I will live. There are two ways your behavior is affected: by genetics or by nurture, nature or nurture. This is how your behavior is affected. By genetics, it means that this is something passed on through your lineage. These are things that are not arbitrary. You can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about the shape of my nose. This is the nose of my lineage. All right? You see, whatever you are, that's your lineage. Praise God. But then there are things that you adopt. There are things that you take on. There are behaviors that you inherit from observation. For example, Shanina does what she does because she's my biological child. Shanina is me in a dress. So whatever I am, that's what she is. She has my mannerisms, my characteristics. She is me because she's born of me. And here's what he says. He says, I did this because I saw you do that. But it's not his DNA. That's what happens with us. When we were born in sin, we took on the attributes of sinful behavior. But then we needed to be born of the Spirit so that we could take on the attributes of spiritual behavior. But there is conflict. Conflict that says, though I'm filled with the Spirit, there is a fleshly pull to what is understandable, what is distinguishable. And so Paul says you got to know where your struggle is.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
06116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Every time you say that name, something happens on the inside. Depression goes, fear dissipates, joy bells begin to ring, power flows through you. Every time you say that name.
Come and experience a demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God at a three-night revival with Bishop Eric Lambert of Bethel Deliverance International Church, all being held on Wednesday, July 27th through Friday, July 29th. Come to be revived, empowered, and activated to impact the world with the love and the power of God. Services begin 7:30 p.m. with dynamic praise and worship, followed by a powerful message from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. Prayer will be held prior to each service at 6:30 p.m. nightly. Don't miss this special time to continue to seek the face of the Lord. We are having revival July 27th through July 29th. Be there.